I would just say, friends, that our first two hymns have been chosen by Victoria. We will now commence with hymn 574. What a precious, needful thing is the Lord and Saviour. Zion shall his mercy sing, now, henceforth and ever. In him a rich fullness dwells and is freely given. Law and conscience Jesus quells, crooked things makes even. 574.
Thank you.
Our reading is from two chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. Firstly, Matthew chapter 3, and then part of chapter 16. Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will throughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now turn to chapter 16. Commencing to read at verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from me, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, how we need thee now to solemnize our minds and our hearts as we gather to worship thee. Oh, we do pray for thy blessed Holy Spirit's divine influence in each part of this service, and may it all be to thy honour and to thy glory and to the good and profit of our never dying souls. Oh, we pray that thou wilt be the Master of Assemblies. May we lose sight of the things of time and of this world, and see by faith no man save Jesus only. O Lord, thou knowest the sacred reason we are gathered today. We do pray that thou wilt come and especially favour Victoria. We do thank thee, dear Lord, and bless thy holy name, for thou hast done for her and in her, and for thy wondrous work. No, we do pray that thou wilt visit her soul this day and sweetly assure her that the eternal God is her refuge, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. No, Lord, do bless Joseph too, and the dear children, her dear parents too, and those connected to her in every way. We would lovingly commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace. And we pray that thou would abundantly pour thy spirit out upon them. And may they be filled with thy love and thy goodness, thy mercy, and be enabled to praise and bless thy holy name. And all we do pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt remember each one that has gathered. Do come and suit thy word to every sinner's case. May those, Lord, that may as yet know thee not be brought to know thee vitally and savingly. May this be the appointed time not to propose but call by grace. May there be those even in this village brought to cry out as the jailer did, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Oh, that there may be yet many to begin to be in want, and those that have forsaken thy house, Lord, and gone their own way, may there be yet a blessed return. And many are brought, Lord, to say as the prodigal did, "I will return to my father's house, where there is meat and to spare." Many that are in bondage, Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and set them free. Oh, that thou wouldst loose thy children and let them go, Lord, and that they may be enabled to speak of the wonders thou alone canst do. Do soften each hard heart, Lord. May we ever be tender and in thy fear, and be truly humbled in the dust. Oh, we would come near, Lord, confessing our many, many sins, how we need thee to wash us and to cleanse us from them all. How often we have to come with the dear poet when he said, "Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die." Oh, do grant us that real heart confession, dear Lord, that true God-given repentance that needeth not to be repented of, nor that we may ever be at thy dear feet as nothing, and a precious Jesus, the one thing that's needful. We pray abundantly, Lord, that thou wilt bless the dear children, the dear young people, those that gather here and those that have gathered today, our own grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Remember them each with the favour thou bearest to thy people, and oh, that there may be yet among them found in them some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel, that they may follow on to know the Lord and be kept from this world and all its snares and attractions, and brought to desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Oh, we pray that thou wilt remember each one in all their trials and afflictions and burdens, who help them, Lord, to cast them all upon thee. For, O Lord, to whom else can we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. We do pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt help the deacons here and abundantly bless them and bless the hymns they give out. Grant that needed guidance and wisdom and direction in all the affairs concerning thy house. Nor as thou hast added to the church here of late, Lord, so we would bless and praise thy holy name with them. Glorify thy name. And oh, we pray that there may be yet the sound of abundance of rain. There may be others so constrained, Lord, to be able to say with the Apostle Paul when he said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Lord, we pray that thou wilt add to the churches represented here and to our own flock at home such as should be saved. Lord, there are those we long for thee to bring. We pray thou would hasten it in thy time. Oh, that we may rejoice with those that truly rejoice even this day. And praise thy holy name. We seek for a heart of true thanksgiving and praise to thee. We have to say, Lord, so often with the psalmist, not unto us, O God, not unto us, but unto thy great name, give we honour and glory and praise. We remember those that are laid aside at this time and those unable to be with us in affliction. We pray that thou wilt make each bed in each affliction. And if it's thy holy will, do send that needed healing and restoring mercy. And oh, do sanctify these things, Lord, that out of the bitter may come forth that which is sweet. We especially pray for thy dear servants here, that thou wilt grant them, Lord, that gracious help and anointing as they venture forth each service by service. And oh, do prepare thy servants and prepare us for the morrow and to thy holy day. And thy dear servant engaged to minister here. And we pray that there may be great things done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And that sinners may be abundantly blessed with pardon and peace within, and thy name glorified. Now, O Lord, do come and anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray for voice to speak, the hearing ear to thy dear people. And oh, may we lose sight of all the things of time and see no man save Jesus only. And, O Lord, may we be favoured to hear thy voice. We would pray earnestly as David did of old, be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Do forgive now what we've uttered amiss. Bless the hymns that we're favoured to sing, and may we know the realities there are in them and sweetly experience them. And may a precious Jesus be made exceedingly precious to us, and the one thing that is needful. We ask these poor breathings in the precious name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 667. 667. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion, and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. 667.
seeking the Lord's divine help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 24. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Never man spake like this man that uttered these beautiful words. They were spoken by the dear Saviour himself. And what deep and profound truths are found in them. Firstly, we would look at if any man will come after me. Really, that's a wonderful word, you know. It reaches out to the blackest, vilest of sinners that are brought to feel their need of the dear Saviour. Many of the children of God, and no doubt many here, bless the Lord for that beautiful word in the hymn. The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. What seemed to so stand out to me as these words dropped in, if any man. However poor they may be, however rich they may be, however afflicted they may be, however well they may be, whether they be at the ends of the earth, in some remote part of this earth, or whether they be in the most populated city in the earth, any man. You think of those that came to the dear Lord Jesus while he walked this earth. You can think of dear Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. Any man, any woman, any child. You can think of the dear dying thief. He knew what it was to need the dear Redeemer. Let us bring it right home to each of us. Do we feel our need of him? And when is it we feel our great need of him? To come after him. When we're in deep need in our souls. Weighed down and burdened by sin. And no man can help us. We sing in the hymn, don't we? None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. How many of us here have blessed the Lord for such a word as this, if any man? Doesn't matter how black they feel, how vile they feel, how deep the need is within them. You know, the hymn writer said, and it's a wonderful word really, and may we know the reality of it in our own souls. You can't come too filthy. Come just as you are. Because you see, in the Saviour is everything the poor, needy sinner needs. And you know, in Victoria's heart and that, she's known what it is to feel it. And two, she's known ever so much of what it is to be like Peter, really. We read in these short verses here of two sides in Peter. In the first part we read, Peter said to the Lord Jesus when he had said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But then a few verses further we see the other side of Peter. When the Lord Jesus had spoken to them of his great sufferings that he was to endure, what did Peter do? We read this. "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You see, in Peter were two armies. And if we are to be real followers of the dear Redeemer, we shall know what it is. There shall be that conflict within, that warfare, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. But oh, what do we find in dear Peter? Grace was to prevail. And you know, there may be those of you that so much tossing to and fro in your heart this afternoon. The devil trying to pull you one way, and that's what he was doing with Peter. But the Lord was to pull him the other. And the Lord was to have the preeminence. Grace was to reign in Peter, but remember, he was a poor sinner. We read in the hymn, don't we? Peter loved his master well, but a loving Peter fell. And there are times in our thoughts we fall, don't we? Mercy if we are kept outwardly. But how often in our thoughts and in our hearts we are wandering from the Lord. Departing from the God we love. Then following that, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man, he reaches out, you see. Well, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We think of that beautiful word in the closing chapter of the book of the Revelations. Very sacred word. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and "Let him that heareth say, Come," and "Let him that is athirst come," and then listen. "And whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely." whosoever. You know, many of God's dear children are blessed the Lord for that whosoever. It reaches out right to them. You think of those that came to the Saviour that I just spoke of just now. He didn't send them away empty, did he? The hymn writer said he will not send them empty back or fright them from the door. You may have great burdens in your heart this afternoon, great exercises, great concerns. Bring them, poor soul, to the dear Redeemer. Come just as you are. Lay them at his dear feet. He has engaged to manage all by the way and to the end. If any man, I can't express in words how precious that was to me when the text dropped in. If any man seemed to reach right into the inmost recesses of my poor heart. If any man, any child, any mother, any father, any babe. But who are these that will come after him? Well, Jesus said on another occasion, didn't he? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me. They're the ones that he's speaking of here. If any man. All that the Father had given. And how can they come? Not in and of themselves. We have no power nor might. But what does the Lord say and what does the hymn writer say? None come except the Father draw. When he draws the poor sinner, he'll draw them out of the world, out of all their sinful works, out from all the condemnation of the law, and he'll draw them to his dear feet as penitent sinners. You won't better get above the prayer, poor soul, will you? What the publican uttered. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Reminds me of a excuse me, a dear uncle of my wife's. You know, he was 14 when he was baptised at Tenterden as a only 14 years old by the late Mr. George Rose. And shortly before he passed away at age 88, he said to his daughter, I've been thinking back through my life and I think back at what I said at that church meeting, you know, all those years before. What a poor, wretched sinner I am. And he said, now I've come, as it were, to the gates of the grave. And it's still my prayer. You'll never wear it out. May there be those this afternoon crying that and go on to cry it, poor soul. For who, he says here, if any man will come after me. You know, the Lord is a sovereign. He can bring one of a city, he has said, and two of a family, and he'll bring them to Zion. And he'll bring them to the feet of the dear Redeemer. Well, much could be said upon this first clause. I'll be brief. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You know, it's one of the lessons those that truly come after the Lord will have to learn. Self-denial. You know, to use a simple illustration, if a child may say in a shop, well, Mummy or Daddy, I would like this and that, and you say to them, no, I'm afraid you can't have it. You deny them to have it. And think of it, you know, when the Lord begins his work in the sinner's heart, he denies them of the world. They have to deny everything of self, everything of a religious nature that's only the flesh, and all they want to be Jesus only. It's only he that can do them good. Let him deny himself. And this goes contrary to the flesh, because the flesh wants this and he wants that. He wants everything that's easy, everything that's smooth. He wants the world. That which is born of the flesh, Jesus said, is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You can never mix oil and water. They won't mix together. But think of what he says. Let him deny himself. I love that little word, let, you know. It's used many times in the Word of God. Let him deny himself. That is, we shouldn't do anything to hinder the sinner denying themselves. Let him deny himself. And there may be that in those of you, there may be exercise about this sacred ordinance this afternoon. There's that in you that desires to come as of the Holy Spirit. But there's that in you that keeps you back. I was talking to one of our most eminent servants of God the other day, and he said to me, I remember when he said I was so exercised about following the Lord in the sacred step of baptism, and there were two things that kept me back. The first was pride, and the second was unbelief. And he said, I went to the house of God, and one of the dear servants of God, who was wasn't his pastor, but like his pastor, he loved his ministry and so blessed under it. This dear servant of God asked him how he was, and he said, well, there's two things keeping me back. It's my pride and it's my unbelief. And the dear minister looked at him. He said, my dear lad, my dear young friend, when the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood at Calvary, he shed it to remove all pride in the sinner's heart and all sin. And all unbelief. And the Lord used it, you see, to set him free. He said, I was like a bird let out of a cage. Let him deny himself. Now, there may be those things in your heart. It may not be your unbelief. It may not be your pride. But that keep you back. There's a verse of a hymn that's been much with me as we have come up here. And the Holy Spirit alone can supply it to us today. And may he be pleased to do so. In that closing, or the second verse of hymn 723, excuse me. Let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you, 'tis the Spirit's rising beam. It's a beautiful verse, isn't it? Let not conscience. It'll often make us linger, won't it? All fitness, you may say, and Victoria's known it well. All her fitness. And she had to learn that no fitness in self, nothing in herself. All the fitness is in the dear Redeemer, is to feel your need of him. This he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising beam. Let him deny himself. Now, they're not my words, child of God, this afternoon. They're what the Saviour said. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now, let's be very clear. Those in religious circles that think they can put a cross round their neck and that's that what they got to carry. You see people about like it. It doesn't mean that at all, beloved friends. The cross the Lord lays upon his dear people is varied. I remember dear Mr. Sperling Tyler preaching at Ashwell and I was pastor there at the anniversary on one occasion from this very text. And when he got to this part of the text, let him take up his cross and take up his cross. He said, beloved friends, there are many mothers that have a cross. One may be they've got no children. That's their cross. Others, because they've got a lot of children, that's their cross. There are many crosses the Lord's dear children have. Some of them that are visible. We think of several today in our little denomination that have got heavy crosses. Affliction may be in a child. What a heavy cross, and it's a cross they've got to carry. And then it may be in business, those heavy crosses you have. Let him take up his cross. And then, of course, there are the crosses which are in the heart of the child of God. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Whatever cross lies at thy door, it cometh from the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing when you can see the cross that you have as it coming from the Lord. And the cross may be your pride. The cross may be the sins that weigh you down within. Man doesn't see them. You know, with David, when he fell in sin, it was a cross that he had to carry right till he breathed his last. And there may be those of you that have crosses today and they're between you and the Lord. Let him take up his cross. They've got to take it up. And how can you take it up? By faith. By the help of God. Take up that cross. You think of the dear Redeemer, the great cross that he bore. You may think this afternoon, well, my cross is heavy. My cross is great. How can I carry it any longer? The cross I've had for many years in one cross is all the problems I've had with my voice over the years. But I'll tell you what it does. It makes me go into the pulpit every time, dependent upon the Lord for that help. And if he doesn't help us, we're finished, aren't we? But he has promised to never leave nor forsake his dear children. And you think of Moses as he went forth to lead the children of Israel. What a great cross it was to lead those children of Israel through the wilderness. Many servants of God have heavy crosses. But you think of that, you think of dear Hannah, the cross she had. Had no children. It was a great cross to her, wasn't it? And she had to carry it. And then another cross she had was that adversary that continually provoked her. And maybe those of you this afternoon, Satan attacking on every side. And what a cross it is to bear. You know, whatever cross we may have, it's nothing to be compared to the cross the Saviour carried. And he bore the sins of his dear bride, his church. We sing in the hymn, don't we, bore all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. And that's the place you often come to, poor soul. We got strength enough but none to spare. And sometimes you don't think you've got that. Let him take up his cross. He didn't say forsake it or put it down and let somebody else carry it. The Lord didn't. We've got to carry it ourselves. Let him take up his cross. We read in Matthew chapter 10, he says, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now they're the words of the dear Redeemer. But let us go to the last point in this beautiful word. And follow me. It's a very clear command, that is. Follow me. You think of while the Saviour was here upon this earth. When he went to Simon Peter and those fishermen, what did he say? Follow me. There's a clear command to them, wasn't it? What did they do? They had to leave their fishing boats and follow him. You know, to be a real follower of Christ, we may have to forsake much. We read on another occasion, I think it was concerning Matthew, that he rose up when the Lord said to him at the receipt of custom, follow me, and he rose up, left all, and followed him. You look in your heart and mine, are we willing to leave everything to follow him? We read on another occasion, don't we? Except a man leave father and mother and brethren, sisters, he cannot be my disciple. But to be a real follower of a meek and lowly Jesus. Now I want to help just briefly to look at this following a few ways. There's a following of the Lord in this sacred ordinance which we are here today to witness. And that's a very sacred ordinance. Following him, we read, and it seemed to so be laid on me to read that third chapter of Matthew of the baptism of Christ. And how he set that clear example to his dear people. To follow him. The hymn writer said, make me to walk in thy commands, for 'tis a delightful road. Nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God. oh, to follow him. It's like the dear woman in William Huntington's Day, and I told you before, where, of course, he was never exercising that sacred ordinance, but a real servant of God. And he had the dear lady came to him and said, Mr. Huntington, I desire to follow the Lord in the sacred step of baptism. And he said, my dear, why do you want to go? She said, well, it's like this. I've had a sweet glimpse by faith of Christ in the water. That's why I want to go. And what did dear William Huntington say to her? Well, if that's so, my dear, then you go. Just a glimpse of Christ in the sacred waters. I remember when I baptised Mrs. Brooks at Braeburn back in 1993. No, she was 83, and I shall never forget it because once I'd baptised her, she didn't want to come out the water. She said it was so precious because Christ was there in that water. And she said, I didn't want to come out. You know, it was very humbling to witness it. And oh, to follow him in his sweet ordinances and his commandments. The Lord has said, they that honour me, I will honour. But they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Then we think of that searching word that Elijah sounded forth on Mount Carmel. When the worshippers of Baal were great. And what did he say? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And I put it to you this afternoon, and in my own heart, who are we following? Are we following idols like they were Baal? Or are we following the Lord? Are we following Satan, or are we following the Lord? It's a searching point, and you can answer, and so can I, before the Lord. Why halt ye between two opinions? You see, they got to be put to the test, and if we are to be real followers of the Lord, he will put us to the test. And he'll make us willing to follow him. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Thus make us willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy name. Oh, that we might be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. But then there's a following of the Lord in his sufferings. Do you know what it is to come into sufferings? It may be in body. Maybe in your soul, maybe in your mind. But to follow the dear Redeemer in his sufferings. You know, if the Lord sets those sufferings before you, when you're in a path of suffering, you may think that suffering is great, but compared with his, there's nothing to compare it. His way was much rougher, the poet said, and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? And oh, if you have a glimpse in your following the Lord in his sufferings, a glimpse of what he endured, he'll melt your poor heart, and you'll look at all what you may be in of suffering, it's nothing to be compared to what he endured. The hymn writer said, what he endured no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. But then, how close do we follow? You think of that this afternoon. We read concerning dear Peter, he followed the Lord afar off. And how often we're like that, aren't we? Following him afar off. But oh, to follow close. You know, I often think of dear John, the dear apostle, you know. Why was it he so loved the Lord and followed so close to him? It was because the Lord Jesus was so precious to him. And he followed ever so close, leaned upon the Lord's breast. Oh, he did. Oh, that we may be leaning upon him, living close, following close to the dear Redeemer. And that's one of the safest places, child of God, you can ever be in. Living close to him, following close. And then think of it in this way too. You know, a little child often follows its mother around the house and it does many things like her. It copies her. It follows her. You think of the real followers of the Lord Jesus. The more close we follow him, the more we shall be like him. Humble, tender, have the mind and spirit of Christ. But then, of course, there's a following of the Lord by faith. You know, so often if you don't know the way somewhere, looking at it naturally, and someone says, well, we're going in front of you, you want to keep them in view, don't you? As they travel along and you follow, you want to keep close to them because otherwise you could lose sight of them and know not which way to go. But poor soul, how do we follow the Lord? Do we follow him, keeping him in view? Think of what the hymn writer said. I remember preaching at Ashwell the first month as pastor, and I felt after the first month I'd come to the end. I'd preach myself dry. And I should never forget it. The Lord breathed those beautiful words into my soul. Always keeping Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through. May that be a word for the Lord's servants here this afternoon. There are many times we come to the end, but always keeping Christ in view. And you know, that carried me. I remember the 25th anniversary of the pastorate, I remember mentioning it. It was so sweet to me, looking back over the 25 years. One of the keys was that, keeping Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through. And may that be so with us each. But then there's a following the Lord by faith. 'Tis by faith and not by sight Christians yield obedience. There are times when clouds obscure thy view. There are dark passages we have to come through. We cannot see our way. We have to venture by faith. And what does faith, the venturing faith, do? It's a venturing faith. The old ministers used to say was the strongest faith. And how many times we have to venture upon the Lord. And it may be as you go forth from this day, venture upon him by faith. And that's a sweet experience. And then finally, there's a following the Lord into glory. You said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And you think of dear Stephen. He knew what it was to follow his dear Redeemer into glory. Oh, he did. May it be so with us each. Well, I've scratched around the surface. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the text, if nothing that I've rambled around, and forgive anything amiss. Amen.
Thank you. seemed a great honour to take me through these sacred waters. The word that has been much upon my spirit, which was really a confirming of what the Lord has given you over the years, in Isaiah 41 and the 10th verse. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That is a comprehensive word which not only we need today, but for the days to come. And may the Lord wonderfully bless you and apply it to you. Come, let us behold the place where the Lord lay. My beloved sister in the Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Spirit, rest and remain with us.